This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.
Welcome to another episode of The Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes, the storytelling show that features The Clearing, where all good questions come to get asked and all good stories come to be told, and where all my guests have two things in common. They're all creative individuals and all with an interesting story to tell. There are some lovely storytelling metaphors, a clearing, a tree, a juicy storytelling exercise called 5-4-3-2-1, some alchemy, some gold, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, and a cake. So it's all to play for. So yes, welcome to The Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we shall begin. Boom! We're in. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the fourth broadcast from the Glow Up Studios of Future Leap. My fat head's in the way. Which way? Future Leap is that way. Future Leap Studios in Bristol. Very excited to be here. Reciprocity is my favourite word. And Julia Duthie and I are playing a game of reciprocity. She's going to be in my podcast and I'm going to be in hers. Now, hers is very enigmatically called People Are Everything, which of course they are. And indeed, we have another resonance, and I'll let you speak in a moment, Julie. I'm just going to blow some happy smoke at you. We both resonate and riff off the idea of, you know, The Good Listening To The Show is like Desert Island Discs, but in a clearing and with stories rather than music. And yours, Julia, just riff on your own Desert Island Discs connection.
Is a bit like Desert Island Discs, but rather than bring music, I ask my guests to bring the five people that have shaped the person they are.
Wonderful. So yours is a crowd scene because people bring five people with them. Fantastic. Whereas I just bring some comedy props like a golden baton. They don't like it up at Mr. Mannering. I've got a complete works of Shakespeare, a couple of other comedy props as well. But welcome, Julia Duthie, to the show. So yes, you are the podcast host. You're a best-selling author. You're a trusted advisor and a mentor. We met on LinkedIn. You very kindly got in touch. And I'm just blowing some happy smoke at you. You've had two CEO positions, a US.com startup company, I think you'll find. And you've been the UK MD of a Singaporean multinational. Which qualifies you to be on LinkedIn for absolute definite. And that's one of the places we're streaming to. So, Julia Duthie, welcome to the show. How's morale and how are you doing?
I'm good, actually. I woke up this morning thinking we were going to have really bad weather. I don't know why. Everyone kept telling me, oh, the weather was going to be bad this weekend. And it's really sunny. So I'm very happy. I'm very happy to be here, Chris.
Me too. So we will be blowing some reciprocal happy smoke at each other. And how very quintessentially English that we've both spoken about. Well, you spoke about the weather. Anyway.
Of course.
So if you've not seen the show before, I know you have, Julia. You were very kind and listened to some and were very sort of praiseworthy of what you thought about the show. And I love yours too. We both like the cuts of each other's jib. This is the show in which I invite movers, makers, shakers, mavericks, influencers, and also personal heroes into a clearing or serious happy place of my guests' choosing as they all come along to share with us their stories of distinction and genius. So that's what's to play for. We're going to get you on the open road. If someone doesn't have a frame of reference for you, Julia, I did blow a bit of happy smoke at you as we're on LinkedIn. We may as well go there. That clunky, hello, what do you do question, which we hate. But what's your favourite way of answering or avoiding what Julia Duthie brings to the table in terms of what she does?
Well, my main role is I work for a company called Bridgepoint. We are the largest private equity firm in Europe. And I do value creation for them. But I'm also a podcaster, like you said. And, you know, people really are everything to me. So I decided to launch a podcast that kind of focused on that subject. And I am particularly fascinated by the people behind the people. So my question is always, I always want to know, who made you then?
And I love the fact that you're doing a mainframe side hustle like I am, because I'm a facilitator or a coach. But at the beginning of the pandemic, one of my guests very recently, very powerfully said, we are where we are, all of us, because of decisions and choices that we made 5 years ago. That was Antonia Wade, who's the global chief marketing officer of PwC, as it happens. But I found that so resonant because I got going almost as she said that 5 years ago to the day with the Good Listening To show. How long have you been going with People Are Everything, Julia, and how many episodes in are you?
Well, we've just finished season one, which was fab. I just loved it. I've actually pretty much recorded season two already, and that's starting up again next week. And I liked what you said just then, because you're right. Everything that I'm doing now has kind of been led up to and feels very, very natural. Feels like this is where I'm supposed to be. And even like, especially in my work is all about people. Everything I do is people connected.
Yes, it resonates with, I've prepared my entire life for this moment. People are everything. And one of my favourite quotes when facilitating is, it's all about the relationship, stupid. Mm. Because it is. So let's get you on the open road of the structure. There's going to be a clearing, a tree, a lovely juicy storytelling exercise called 5-4-3-2-1. There's going to be some alchemy, some gold, a couple of random squirrels, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, a golden baton, and a cake. So it's all to play for. We're going to get into the who, the what, the where, the how, the why, you do what you do. And at the end, there's a very, very exciting show us your QR code section, please, where I've actually got one all ready to go for Julia Duffy's link tree, I think you'll find. But that's to come, just to keep you excited. So, Julia Duffy, a clearing is your serious happy place. Where do you go, would you say, to get clutter-free, inspirational and able to think?
Well, this was really easy for me. I've picked Horsell Common. And for those who don't know where Horsell Common is, it's just near Woking, where I grew up. And it's famous, I suppose, for War of the Worlds, H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds.
That's where the alien invasion happened, was that right?
Yeah, it actually happened in real life.
Yeah.
It was where he set the landing, if you like, of the aliens. And there's a big sort of sandy dust bowl there.
Yeah.
Which is kind of maybe gave the inspiration of where the aliens first landed. So it's a beautiful 900-acre woodland. And I've probably walked there, I'm going to say over 1,000 times, must be more than 1,000 times. And there's a piece of, this old, huge oak trunk, if you like, that's been carved into a seat that's right in the middle of it. And that's my happy place. That's where I go to sit. But I used to live right near there. And so I used to go there pretty much every day. And sounds a bit morbid, but most of my pet's ashes have been scattered at that very spot because it's so beautiful. And I used to sit there with my dogs, you know, past and present. And it's beautiful. It's just such a beautiful piece of woodland. So that's my happy place.
What a soul chime to know exactly where to go to place a life that has been and that has been alongside you. And then you go in factory default set, I'm assuming, by plunking your own bottom on that same seat as life changes and ebbs and flows. It sounds
absolutely. It's completely, and I feel so connected to them when I'm there. And I know it probably won't be allowed, but, you know, I'd like to be scattered there myself. I think it would be fabulous. That's my little, you know, my place. So,
and even if they say no, we can all do the great escape and sort of put your ashes in our trousers and sort of trot along. This is a huge assumption that I was implying I'm going to last longer, but none of us know.
If anybody watching and listening outlives me, could you please make sure I'm scattered on this particular area of Horsell Common, please? That's where I'd like to rest.
It shall be so. That was wonderful. So we've arrived at your clearing, your sort of druidic space that you always return to. As a bit of a connection. When were you last there at your serious happy place?
Oh, probably a couple of days ago.
Ah, it's that recent. I love that. yes, it really is a sort of a default place to be. I love that. And now, you've mentioned an oak tree and the bench hewn out of it already, but I'm going to arrive with a tree now in your clearing, and this is a bit Waiting for Godot-esque because of my hecting background, and I'm going to shake your tree now to see which storytelling apples fall out. How do you like these apples? That's a comedy prop for
you. Very nice.
Thanks. And this is where you've had 5 minutes, Julia Duthie, to have thought about four things that have shaped you, three things that inspire you, two things that never fail to grab your attention and borrow from the film Up. That's a bit more squirrels. You know what? Never fail to be your monsters of distraction, your shiny object syndrome. And then the one is a quirky or unusual fact about you. We couldn't possibly know about you until you tell us. It's not a memory test, so I've got very good at curating people through this. So over to you to interpret the shaking of the canopy of your tree as you see fit, Julia.
All right. Well, I can't not talk about my early years. And you mentioned that I'm a best-selling author, just like to put that in there. And this is my little book, The House on Dogbone Street, but it talks about that upbringing of mine. And I suppose it sold because it's very unusual. I think most people would not expect a childhood like that from me when they meet me. I would say the thing that I took most from my childhood was having to be extremely resourceful and resilient. So I'm naturally a happy person. I'm naturally an optimist. So I was someone who had to pretty much raise themselves in very difficult circumstances. And so I had to learn really fast how to connect with people. There's a link there. How to survive some challenges, some very difficult things. How to provide for myself, how to take care of myself. So these things have stuck with me always. So I would say I can't not.
And the story behind the story of your own volition, what you are fascinated by is the story behind the story. So the house on Dogbone Street, I'm assuming, I know that's the book, but I'm assuming that's the physical address where this was all beginning to take place.
Well, I made the name up because it was actually the nickname of the road was called the dog bone, because of the way it was shaped. It had two roundabouts in the middle. So it had like a dog bone look. So us kids, we used to call it the dog bone. It still exists in the family. My brother still lives there. My dad has long passed, and my mum, I didn't know at all. So I barely knew her. She died when in her mid-40s. It's not a good, it's not a great happy start, Chris, but it kind of was. It was the making of the person that I am. So the book is not depressing. It's actually very uplifting. And I think the bit that people most like is the detail of exactly what you do when you're, I don't know, seven and you've broken your toe. What do you do? Or if you're, I don't know, got nits, if you've got nits, what do you do when there's no parents? But that resourcefulness, that capability, that ability to kind of connect with people and find the things you need by, I don't know, being helpful, being cheerful, being somebody that people wanted to pay attention to. All good stuff for life.
And how many, you mentioned a brother who still lives there in Dogbone Street, as you call it, for its pet name, what I did there. How many siblings do we have?
I have three. I have two older brothers and a younger sister. So and we were a little gang.
So in you being resilient, were you also mentoring and being resilient on behalf of the younger one as well?
Well, we all play our role. My eldest brother, of course, would naturally assume the sort of patriarch, if you like.
Yeah.
But I don't know. He's 6 years older than me. And I don't know if he would say he was definitely the person responsible for things. I think I'm naturally responsible. And I think I just took that role when we were younger. I think it still continues to this day. I still feel quite responsible for my siblings.
What I was really struck by was your innate happy disposition you described. Even though there was adversity, you were making, you were able to make optimistic and resilient choices in amongst that.
I think that was the thing that saved me most. I really believe it. Because it's so inherent in me. I would get up in the morning and just make the best of it and just go, right, what can I do today to move this stuff forward? And I was a real hustler. My partner takes the mickey out of me and, she says things like, oh, it was proper Oliver Twist. like, hello, mister. Hello. She got any jobs? And I would just do odd jobs and things and stuff, you know, just to get what I needed.
Yeah.
So that ability to kind of connect with people and have them want to work with me, help me do something to make my life a little bit better has always stuck with me and continues to this day.
Wonderful. And as you said, it's formative, it has formed you, and it continues to form you and pull you towards your future. That's a lovely first shapage. Shapage number, I've got a bell as well. I can go, shapage ding. Number two, please.
Shapage number two. It's music. So when I was going through all of that, the thing that I loved most, the thing that took me away from it the most, was my love of music. Firstly, listening to it, I was obsessed. I'm from that era where we recorded the top 40 and played it back.
Me
you know, I you yeah, all yeah. of us did it, didn't we? We sort of like, you know, wait for the song and get rid of the adverts, quick, stop, doink. So I'm from that era too. And so growing up in the sort of 70s and 80s, music was everything to me.
Any music track that springs to mind?
Oh, I don't know. My very first song was Howard Jones, the one that went don't be fooled by what you see, whatever that one is. That was the first song I ever bought with my own actual money, which I probably got from doing some odd job. So music was huge for me. And then when I was about 14, I got into my first band and I thought I was the coolest person in the world. Funnily enough, started playing bass rather than what I ended up being, which was a singer. And I still love the bass. I can still play it quite well, but it was an odd instrument to start with at 14. And it wasn't even mine. I borrowed it. So, I just loved music, always did. And that led me to having quite the career in music. It was a really fun time, about 10 years of really trying hard. I had, I was signed to management. I put out a few songs. I recorded an album.
Wow.
I did loads of gigs.
This guitar wasn't yours, and presumably you've returned it, or have you still got that bass guitar somewhere in the background?
Well, it belonged to a music shop. It's still going, actually, called Anderton's in Guildford. And there was a person there who ran the shop called Guy. I don't remember his surname, but he allowed me to borrow it because I used to nick off as much as I could from school and go and hang out in that music shop. And he would just let me play it. And then eventually he said, well, you might as well just take it home. You played it that much.
Oh, what a guy is Guy. We like Guy.
Yeah. And he gave me a set of headphones
that
I could just plug straight into the bass. So I didn't have an amp. And I could just play at home. Anyway, that was...
I've not said the expression slap that bass for a while, but that is a particular style of bass playing, isn't it?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Great. Second shapage number three. I'll do the bell again.
Ding, ding. All right.
We don't have to do that. It's just occasionally there. It's for if we go into rabbit holes. Normally I use the bell to get people out of rabbit holes, but we haven't gone that one yet.
Okay, good. Well, number three is I'm going to give a person some credit now. This is I'm going to do a shout out for a lady called Jan Lawford, who was my first boss. My first proper job was a company called CPU Peripherals. In Woking.
Great. The first mention they've had for a while live on LinkedIn.
Oh, they don't exist anymore. They don't exist, long gone. But it was a peripheral distribution company. I knew nothing about computers, Chris. I, you know, had no clue. But again, being the sort of champion hustler, I applied for the job. And before I had my interview, I pretended to be a dealer and got their brochure because I only sold to the trade. So I rocked up to their front kind of office and pretended I'd been sent by my boss, who, and I made up some name, could I have their trade brochure, please? And then I went and met with my dear friend Chris and said, right, I don't know anything about this stuff. What is it? What is a tape drive? What is a hard drive? I have no idea. So anyway, just learned everything. And when I came for my interview, Jan was there. And, you know, I obviously impressed her with my huge amounts of years worth of computer background. But, you know, she liked the cut of my jib, to use your phrase. And I hired me. And I just never really looked back. I rose through the ranks of that organization. Had a wonderful time, about 5 years under Jan. She taught me a lot about leadership and how to grow a business and marketing. I still see her. I still think of her. I think of the way she did things, does things. She's hugely successful in her own right. And, yeah, I'm really proud to still be in her life and be considered a friend. So, yeah, Jan Lawford, here's to you.
Love that. And also there's a real strand of loyalty in what you're describing. You as a person, I'm getting the sense that you're incredibly loyal once you meet someone and they help you.
Oh, yes. I'm a collector, yeah. Chris.
Absolutely. That's an even better way of putting it. Hello, I'm a collector. Hence, people are everything. You're a collector of people. And clusters of five are lovely. And again, we'll get on to you talking explicitly about your podcast in a little while as well. So now it's shapeage number four, please. This is wonderful stuff.
Well, I'm going to cheat. I'm going to call this my ISTs. I-S-T-S's. My ISTs. And I'm going to lump two together that have been absolutely life-changing for me, which is my physiotherapist and my therapist. So mind and body. So I'm going to talk about Dean first. His name's Dean Tooby. And I damaged my back really badly when I was in my early 20s. And I had two prolapsed discs, L4 and L5, if anyone knows my pain out there. Really devastating. It's a devastating thing. I think I was 23 or 24. And I'm very sporty. And they said, no more sports for you. Don't be thinking about having kids. And I was in excruciating pain. I went on to have two kids against that advice. But I never returned to sports. I never was able to do sports. But I met Dean. And I mean, apart from being such a talented physio, I mean, he knows so much. He's actually, he teaches this stuff as well. But he just took the time to learn me. And what he learned with me is I need a lot of information. I love to know exactly how everything works and why it's not working. But more than that, I need reassurance that if I try something, it's going to be okay. Because when you've hurt your back that badly, you hold your body in protective mode the whole time. And now I'm playing pickleball, and now I'm on a kayak, and I'm cycling, and I'm doing pretty much most of the things I ever wanted to do. My goal is to one day play tennis.
Which is my, I love tennis. It got me through the pandemic, twonking a ball 25 feet away at somebody else.
Well, you know that it's a wonderful sport. So Dean is amazing. Dean Tooby, check him out if you've got any.
May I just say, what a great name for a therapist. Tooby.
Or not Tooby.
As in, you can either work with me or not work with me. Tooby or not Tooby. Love that.
I knew we'd get the bard in there. he's brilliant. So he's one of my ISTs that's changed
a great ist
from my life. And Donna is my therapist who I took up with when I had a bit of a... My dad died when he was 90 and he had dementia for 10 of those years and I had a tricky relationship with him anyway. And then I thought, well, I'd better go and see an IST because I wasn't doing very well with it.
And well done for not just going to get pissed instead of going
to see an IST. Yeah, I did that too.
Yes.
I definitely did that. But I also, at the ripe old age of 50... I decided to give it a try. And in doing so, she changed, altered the shape of my life completely. I mean, I'm in a totally different place. I'm in a totally different relationship. I'm just, you know, just where I need to be. And she did that. She helped me with that.
Great. That's a wonderful initial shapeage of the tree, the four shapeages. Mm-hmm. Now we're looking at three things that inspire you, Julia Duthie.
All right. Well, curiously, not people. People are just the best bit, aren't they? So I get a lot of inspiration from the people around me, be they friends, you know, just people in my life or people that I observe and learn from. So people are my absolute favorite. Then I put down travel, which I've really come to quite late. You know, my poor kids, I made them go camping every year for, well, they're still doing it and they're 21 and 23 now. But I literally from the age of two, I made them go to the same campsite every year for 17 days. Not 2 or 3 days, but 17 days. That was my annual holiday. And then with my new partner, Catherine, she's like, I'm not doing that.
No. I'm not doing that. I love that.
I'm not doing that. No. We don't do camping. So so she introduced me to actual travel.
And like hotel rooms, things like that.
Hotel rooms with beds and like room service and fluffy towels and, you know, who knew? So now we travel a lot. We've just come back from Antigua. We've done New York. We've done LA. And I've done a lot of travel with my work. I mean, I've, you know, hundreds and hundreds of work trips, but I never really traveled abroad for pleasure. So she's like, that's more like it. That's what we're going to do. So travel is like a super priority for me.
Inspiration, please.
Oh, right. Well, I'm just going to be very self-serving for both of us here, which is podcasts. When I discovered podcasts, that changed my life. I mean, I started having some difficulty with my eyesight about the same time I discovered podcasts. And so I used to be a voracious reader. And then as my eyesight was going, this is not enjoyable anymore. And then podcasts came into my life. And I must listen to, I'm going to say 10 plus hours a week, if not more. And I have learned so much from doing that. And I love long form conversation. It's my absolute favorite thing to do because I don't know, I just like getting into things and I like listening to people getting into things. I'm not a big fan of sort of short bursts of knowledge or communication. I like to know things. So podcasts absolutely changed my life 100%.
In all my circa 250 episodes, you're the first person that has named podcasts as an influencer. Yay. So that's wonderful. Congratulations.
Well, it's true.
And I believe that's the three influencings that's happened now, isn't it? Is that right? Just checking my own maths. It's my show, but I sometimes get a bit lost. And now this is the, squirrels, you know, borrowed from the film Up. The house on Dogbone Street made me think about the film Up anyway, because there's a very enigmatic house within the film Up. Anyway, this is the, squirrels, you know, what never failed to stop you in your tracks. I do have a slightly stupid squirrel. My family hate the fact that I might whip out a squirrel. But anyway, squirrels, what are your two monsters of distraction, your shiny object syndromes, two things that never fail to stop you in your tracks, irrespective of anything else that's going on for you?
Dogs. I love dogs. If I see a dog, I want to go up to it, know it. I want to know everything about it. I want to speak to the owner. I'd like to think I know most of the breeds by sight, although most breeds now are just fluffy, aren't they? Everyone's got a poodle, even me. A doodle of some kind, whatever they call it.
A doodly coggly poodle doodle, yes.
A doodly wee boodle, yeah. Mine's called a boar doodle. And so
it's got tusks. But I just love,
pardon?
It's got tusks. Is that why it's a boar doodle?
I never thought of that. No, right. No, she's a border collie.
Ah, yes.
So she thinks she's a sheepdog, but actually she's just this fluffy little thing. But I love dogs. They're just all love. And they are, you know, all the different uses and breed types. And I love crufts. But I'm obsessed with them. I will always stop and say hello if I see a dog. In fact, I sold one of my homes without going through an estate agent because I knew the dog. And said hello. The dog was called Oscar, and I looked up and the owner said, hello, how do you know Oscar? And I said, well, I see Oscar all the time. And she said, that must be with my dog walker. And I said, probably, because I don't know you. And I said to her, we've not met. I'm Julia, what's your name? And she told me, and I said, I've not seen you around here. She said, no, I'm looking for a house to buy, so I'm just walking around the roads to see what areas. And I said, well, funnily enough, I'm about to put my house on the market on Monday. And this was the weekend. So I said, if you come round today, you could perhaps make me an offer. And she did. And I sold it.
So Oscar works in real estate. That's fantastic. What a dog that is. That's great.
I paid him a very good commission.
Dogs too. And I know that dogs are often used by owners to be the conduit to whether or not they trust someone as to whether the dog likes them or not. So there's an energy.
Completely. And I'm a bit sus of anyone who doesn't like dogs. You know, that's a big red flag.
When I first went to drama school, the Bristol Old Vic Theatre School, I was analogised to being like an untrained Labrador. As in, I'd come in, lick your face, hump your leg, do a poo in the corner and get bored and go and do something else. I wouldn't do any of that stuff, but it's that sort of uncontained energy, which, you know, still helps as we begin to bottle energy as we get older.
Well, I'd probably be described as some sort of soppy spaniel and with loads of energy and probably a bit needy.
She's a bit needy. Nice. That's great to name a dog as a squirrel, because obviously dogs and squirrels, that's just a wonderful sort of, you know, juxtaposition. It's normally dogs that are just, what, you're a squirrel? So yes, that's lovely that you've named a dog as a squirrel. I think you might have a second squirrel, if you want.
I did make a little option two here. And it's a similar sort of thing, really, but it's old people. I like elderly people. I just find them absolutely fascinating. And I'm always drawn to them. If I see them, I don't know, it warms my heart, especially if you see two really elderly people holding hands.
Last episode of People Are Everything, I know you interviewed your oldest friend, who's 92.
Oh, yes. Well, remember, that's Brian.
Brian, yes.
I love Brian.
What I remember really you saying is that you're my oldest friend in both senses of the word.
Yes.
You met him when you were seven.
Well, I met Brian when I was seven.
Yeah.
And I told him I was going to marry him. And when I didn't, he was 42 at the time and I was seven. When I didn't, he was absolutely devastated, I think. He's never recovered. we've been lifelong friends, and he's just one of my favourite people. He makes me laugh.
Lovely.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
And now, a quirky or unusual fact about you we couldn't possibly know about you until you tell us, to bring us to the closing of the shaking of the tree, please.
Well, you kind of already alluded to it with the whole .com thing. I was this close, Chris, to being a... What's the female version of a tech bro? I'm a tech sis.
Tech sis, yes. Texas.
I could have been Texas.
Yeah.
I could be a tech sis. We had this business called pingpong.com, which was in the US, and I was one of the co-founders, and we were trying to organize the internet. We were trying to find a contextual way of loading content. Or searching content. It's way before Google, way before, I think the only thing at the time was Yahoo. And we had this amazing team, hundreds of millions of pounds worth of investment. I was 27, I think, completely riding high in life and, you know, living in LA, living the dream. And, you know, could have absolutely blown up and been the best thing ever.
Also, I love ping pong anyway, I love ping pong, but so the name really chimed. Oh, ping pong. So that's a bit,
yeah.
That's one of my squirrels, ping pong.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. There's another connection.
Yes.
But yeah, I could have been a .com billionaire.
You could have been a contender. You could have been a billionaire. Contender. I love that.
Could have been somebody.
You could have been. Yeah. Great fact. Thank you very much. And you now we've shaken your tree. Hurrah! So now we stay in the clearing. We move away from the tree. And next we're going to talk about alchemy and gold, Julia Duthie. So when you're at purpose and in flow, what are you absolutely happiest doing in what you're here to reveal to the world?
Well, I like being behind a microphone. How about that? That's no surprise either, is it? No big reveal there. Like, all joking aside, people say to me, just don't give her the mic. Just don't give her the mic, because she won't give it back. I love public speaking. I love this kind of thing. I loved when I was a singer, you know, performing live. I love the audience interaction bit. It's where I feel most alive, most authentic, most relaxed, which seems to be good.
And if I may, I didn't say this and I meant to. The first thing I wrote down about you this morning when I was just checking in on my research was the silky-voiced Julia Duthie. So you are in the right place. You do have a very silky voice.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, you never like the sound of your own speaking voice, do you? But I used to be able to hold a tune, Chris. I'm not sure I could nowadays, but I used to love singing. My first one was called The Innocent Bystanders, which was like a classic 80s soft rock punk. I don't know. Second band was called The Colour Red. That was a bit more sophisticated. And then I got signed as an individual artist called my stage name was Billy Levi. How about that?
The answer. And now I'm going to award you with a cake. So do you like cake, Julia Duthie?
Who doesn't love cake? That's like, that again, that's not like not liking dogs.
Yes.
You don't like cake.
Comedy prop number 89, please. This is now the cherry on the cake. So what type of cake would you like?
All right. My absolute favourite would be a Victoria sponge with loads of fresh cream in the middle. And strawberry jam. Yeah.
So you'll have that cake. It shall be yours, complete with fresh cream and everything. So now you get to put a cherry on the cake. It's the final storytelling suffused metaphor. What is the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Well, firstly, I need to ask permission. Am I allowed to swear?
Yes, because Dan's brilliant. Dan, you're teeing everyone up, so anyone with delicate sensibilities, cover your ears now, please.
Cover your ears now. And then, anyway, I'm quoting.
Yes.
So it's not me. But I have a very, very, very dear friend who's also called Julia. And when I first had my two kids, I had them quite close together. They're 16 months apart. And I was knackered after the second, my second child was born. But it didn't stop me going at life really, really hard. And I was trying to be the best mum. And I was going to do all the clubs. And I was like, that mum was so keen. But of course, I was absolutely, you know, doing my health no good at all, Chris Grimes. And she sat me down once, and I've written it down, although I could probably just recite it. She said, Julia, now listen to me. You need to take better care of yourself, because if anything happens to you, it'll be a disaster. And you know what? In that moment, it really got my attention. I thought, gosh, she's right. I had to look after myself much better because I matter to a lot of people. And if I'd done myself in for whatever reason, through health issues or whatever, gosh, that would have been a ripple effect. And I think that's a little message to everybody, really.
You know? And a big shout out to your friend. What's her name? Just to give her another.
Her name's Julia Bird. And she's amazing.
She is amazing. And which links beautifully to the question that just left my brain before I tried to ask it, which is, what's a favourite inspirational quote? That could have been it. But what's your favourite inspirational quote that's always given you succour and pulled you towards your future?
Well, this quote almost gave me my first tattoo. I was living in India for a good while, and everyone seemed to be doing the tattoo thing. So I thought, I want one. So this almost got tattooed along my spine. Could you imagine how painful that would have been?
Ooh.
But it was poignant because my spine had always been my limiter.
Yes.
My back issues I told you about earlier.
Yeah.
So I thought I'm gonna tattoo it and take control of it. Anyway, and it's going to sound very lofty, but it's a Carl Jung quote. See, I told you I read a lot of books. And it says, I am not what happened to me. I am what I choose to become. And that is something I've always thought about too, is yes, I did not have the best of starts by anyone's stretch. But I have not allowed that to negatively alter anything in terms of my my future life.
Deliberately reincorporate. Just say that beautiful Carl Jung quote one more time.
Okay. Here it is. I am not what happened to me. I am what I choose to become.
Boom. With the gift of hindsight, what notes, help or advice might you proffer to a younger version of yourself, Julia Duthie?
I think I would have told my younger self to be braver and be more authentic earlier. That process I went through with Donna, that I mentioned, my therapist before, and she kind of enabled me to be very truthful about who I really was. And I had a fabulous relationship with my ex-husband, still do. He's still very much in my life, but always knew that I was gay, and I just didn't ever want to talk about it or think about it. So I buried it so deeply. like so deeply Elias, like I didn't even recognize it in myself in some ways. But I kind of always knew at some fundamental level that I energetically resonated much more with women, and which now has led me to my partner with Catherine. But it took so long, 50 years, Chris, 50. You know, maybe it was always meant to take that long. But I probably would tell my younger self, you know, just be braver and trust that people will love you anyway for who you are fundamentally.
Very sage-like advice. Fantastic. We're ramping up to Shakespeare shortly to talk about legacy and how you'd most like to be remembered. But just before we get there, this is the pass the golden baton moment, please. Now you've experienced this from within, who would you most like to pass the golden baton along to keep the golden thread of the storytelling going? Julia Duthie.
Well, I thought about this person for multiple reasons. I'm going to introduce you to a guy called Chris West. Chris is was my original manager back in the day when I was 16. And he sort of discovered me, as it were, and we had a very long music career together. And he's gone on to do all kinds of things. He's produced albums for Richard Ashcroft, for Status Quo. He's an amazing guitarist, amazing producer and engineer. And he's also my best mate. So I've known him a long time. We've stayed very close friends all this time. I think you'd find him really interesting.
That's a wonderful, wonderful, precious golden baton pass. Thank you very much, Chris West. I'm coming for you. And now, inspired by Shakespeare, it's very exciting to hold this particular book up because this is the it's not the first folio, but it's the actual book I went to the Bristol Old Vic Theatre School circa 16986, and it says that on the front. So this is my well-thumbed complete works of Shakespeare. Oh, easy. So now, inspired by All the World's a Stage and All the Bedded Women Merely Players, and I'd now like to ask you, Julia Duthie, how, when all is said and done, would you most like to be remembered?
Well, I really struggled with this. I don't know. I know somebody who's always trying to do things and is sort of a creative person who will try something new. I don't know that I'm, you know, authentic and, you know, pretty wholehearted. I am a loyal friend. I'm a good friend. I'm a good and just a good person, you know. You know, I know it sounds really twee, but I just want to be thought of well, that I've lived a nice life and done some good things and helped people along the way. I just like to be well thought of, Chris.
You're man's and woman's best friend. I think you probably were a dog in a different life, actually, because your monumental presence of now, and just being interested and inquisitive.
Yeah, absolutely. Come back to that spaniel.
And now, so just talk us through where we can find out all about People or Everything for those that are listening, Julia.
Well, basically anywhere you get your podcasts, just type in People Are Everything. It's everywhere. It's on Spotify, it's on Apple iTunes, it's on Audible, Amazon, YouTube, just kind of everywhere. So please do check it out.
And myself will be appearing in a couple of weeks' time.
Oh, yes. Yes, you're going to be my guest. I can't wait.
As this has been your moment in the sunshine in the Good Listening to show, Julia Duthie, best-selling author, podcast host, trusted advisor and mentor, is there anything else you'd like to say?
I thought about this too. Here's my parting message to you all. It's taken me a long time to come to this, but seek out people that you energetically chime with and that make you feel good. There's 8 billion of us to play with. Don't spend time with anyone that doesn't make you feel something, I don't know, warm or inspired or energetically happy or just content or all the good feels that we're all looking for. Just seek those people out. And if you find them, hold on to them because they're little treasures. That's my parting words.
Ladies and gentlemen, min, you've been listening to the gorgeous, lovely Julia Duthie here on the Good Listening To show. Another QR code for you if you'd like a conversation about being in the show too. The website for the show is thegoodlisteningtoshow.com. The Good Listening To show is also available wherever you get your podcasts. And then very, very excitingly, there's a very new series strand which has been in the mountainscape of The Good Listening To show all along, which is called Legacy Life Reflections, which uses the same curated structure of the show to record the story, lest we forget before it's too late, of somebody near, dear or close to you for posterity as we share their life's lessons learned along their way. So check out Legacy Life Reflections as well. And of course, you know, if you want to talk about amplifying your business, your brand, that sort of thing, there's a series strand for that too, which is called Brand Strand Founder Stories. So yes, it's been a great joy and a delight. Is there anything else you'd like to say, Julia?
Just thank you, Chris. I've loved this. I'm so excited about this today. Because I love this. I love your energy. I love the theatrics of it all. You just make me smile. And I think that's a really good thing. I think it's great what you're doing. Keep doing more of it. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me on today. I've really, really enjoyed it.
It's been a delight and a pleasure, sincerely, and I'm very, very much looking forward to the magical bit of reciprocity too. I did also forget to mention, I've got a live theatre version show of this as well, and Rob Brydon is coming to the Bristol Redgrave Theatre on the 5th of July to come and do a show live in person that will be filmed, streamed in front of a live audience of about 320 people. So that's Saturday, the 5th of July. And also, there is a Best of Bristol Voices series strand. And on Thursday, 8th of May, if you're in the Bristol area, I'm going to be doing a show at Lost and Grounded Brewery, which is to find the story behind the story of being Alex Troncoso, who is the founder of Lost and Grounded, in the brew house of his dreams. That's the title right there. So, yes, I've been Chris Grimes, but most importantly, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Julia Duthie. I think we're about to go offline, so thank you very much indeed. And just in case, is there anything else just to ring the sponge out? I'm just asking you again, just in case there's... Oh, I forgot to mention. Is there anything you'd like to say?
No, I'm really excited for you meeting Rob Brydon. He's one of my favourites. So, good luck with that, and I hope it goes really, really well.
Wonderful. Thank you very much indeed for watching, listening. Thank you very much indeed. Good night. You've been listening to The Good Listening To show with me, Chris Grimes. If you'd like to be in the show too, or indeed gift an episode to capture the story of someone else with me as your host, then you can find out how care of the series strands at the goodlisteningtoshow.com website. If you'd like to connect with me on LinkedIn, please do so. And if you'd like to have some coaching with me, care of my Personal Impact Game Changer program, then you can contact me and also about the show at chris@secondcurve.uk. On X and Instagram, it's @thatchrisgrimes. Tune in next week for more stories from the clearing. And don't forget to subscribe and review wherever you get your podcasts.